beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my sins unto the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lord, we beseech thee, grant thy people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow thee, the only God, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Our confessional reading this morning from Dr. Luther's Small Catechism, as the head of the family should teach in a simple way to his household, the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading for this morning from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 through verse 10. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich, he bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among the princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven he shall thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. So far, our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for this morning and the text for the sermon from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, reading from verse 1 through verse 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Here ends our epistle reading. Chapter 14, reading from verse 1 through verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace.
And he took him and healed him,
and let him go.
And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?
And they could not answer him again to these things.
And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than you be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here ends our reading from the Gospel. We join in confessing our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
text this morning is the epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'd like to read it again at this time from the New King James translation. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Please be seated. Last week's epistle reading and the text for last Sunday's sermon closed with this beautiful doxology from the Apostle Paul. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. And our epistle reading and text for today begins immediately following that. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk. Scriptural term for your way of life. And he describes that walk with three descriptive nouns: holiness, gentleness, and long-suffering. Holiness. Humbleness. Not looking out for number one, which of course is our natural state. Gentleness, where lowliness looks at myself and what I need to not do. Gentleness looks outside myself to my neighbor, about how I treat, think about, and deal with them. Then bearing with one another. Excuse me, long-suffering. Luther has a comment on that one. He says, I think this means not only bearing insults, but waiting patiently for some improvement in someone who has harmed you. And then, the only verbal term here, bearing with one another in love. Now, in English, bearing with one another sounds like putting up with, does it not? And it certainly does mean that, too. But the idea of bearing includes helping one another with burdens. And then he goes on, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, our English translation of keep here is a little bit misleading. Makes it sound like it's up to us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's not what Paul is saying. Listen to this from the Lutheran Study Bible notes. It says, we are truly one because God's Spirit made the church one in Christ. True unity is neither created nor destroyed by our actions. Rather, Paul exhorts us to treasure this unity and to act accordingly. The Greek word here translated as keep can and does mean keep in some sense. But very often to just use keep gives us a false notion like it did here.
To me, the most troubling place where it gives us a wrong idea is from Matthew 28:20, the Great Commission, teaching them to keep everything I have commanded or instructed you. There, keep sounds like obey, right? It's not what he's talking about there either. There, it's to hold dear. I like the Lutheran Study Bible's treasure. When God-given unity is a treasure, it becomes motivation for walking in the Spirit, walking and keeping the call, keeping in our life in keeping with the call with which we were called. And at this point, we need to talk a little bit about the call with which we are called. Because this is chapter 4. Paul has covered that thoroughly, beginning with chapter 1, where he pointed out that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He's not talking about us gaining that calling by our walk. He's talking about walking in a way that is in keeping with that calling. And the verse following the one I just read, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's that walk. Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, the bearing with one another in love, which Paul described as walking worthy with our calling into the body of Christ. Keeping the unity, or holding dear the unity, treasuring the unity of the Spirit. Interesting. He describes that unity with seven ones. Ones being the biblical term for completion, perfection. Interesting, isn't it? That the unity of the Spirit has a Trinitarian shape, does it not? Let me read again how he described it. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit usually is the term and the order in which we think and talk about the Trinity. Talking about the unity of the body, the church, the unity of the Spirit within the church, Paul comes at it the other way around. Which, if you think about it, makes nothing but great sense. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And in each of these three sections, there's ties and intermingled with the next. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now this is back in chapter 1 as he's describing our call into the body of Christ, into the church. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee the earnest money, if you will, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The redemption, while we are yet sinners on this earth, the Holy Spirit is the earnest money, the guarantee of our glory. And that, of course, leads us on to the hope of our calling, the sinless glory of the resurrection in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. That's the confession that the Holy Spirit allows us, makes us possible to make. Paul writes in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, "Therefore I make known to you that no one, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit." Jesus is Lord, God incarnate. He fulfills the law instead of us and is crucified for our failures to fulfill the law. There's one faith. Again, the Lutheran Study Bible comment says, one faith, not the act of believing, but what is believed. True doctrine as confessed through the Apostles' Creed at baptism, the Nicene Creed, with which we confess together our faith. One baptism. Paul writes, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The church is recognized in the world by her doctrine and her practice of the sacraments established by her Savior, Christ Jesus. And one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Above all, Father of all, he's the creator of all that exists. In you all. We talked a little last week about mysteries, things our mind would not grasp apart from God's revelation. In you all. Here's a mystery. The night he was betrayed, in what we refer to as Christ's high priestly prayer, in an intimate prayer to the Father, praying for the disciples there in the upper room with him, he goes on to say, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me." Can you explain to me the mystery of the Trinity? Three distinct persons, one God. This prayer, I can't get my head around it, drives me to look at the unity of the Spirit in the Church of Christ and to the Trinity whose church it is. And I cannot help but refer once again to Paul's doxology. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life grant them a place at thy heavenly table, for they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity of, in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
by it.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said unto them, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. The body of Christ, given for you. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take.
Peace of the Lord be
with you. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior.
Take and eat.
Jesus Christ.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Your sins.
Given into death for your sin.
Take.
Drink. Take and eat.
The Lord and Savior.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Shed.
Given into death for your sins.
Take.
Drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, shed the remission of your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed the remission. Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink.
Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Thank you.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you, for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace.
Thank you.
that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through faith, in the same through faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.